Welcome. This is Peter and Share Talk. Today I'm speaking with Brian Evans-Jones, the Chief Financial Officer of Active Energy, ticker symbol AEG. Now, Brian, you've had a very active period thus far for Active Energy. And I wanted to catch up with you and the company. Active Energy are in the renewable energy space, forestry management and timber processing business, which have developed a revolutionary biomass-based drop-in replacement fuel with the potential to transform the power generation industry and propel biomass into the industry mainstream. Now, I wanted you to just share with me what's been happening of late with the company, the momentum that's building up, particularly in respect of coal switch. Can you give me an overview of the business and perhaps especially this division, given that the majority of news seems to be stemming from here, please?
Sure. Yeah. Hello, Peter.
Hi.
Yeah, there's been a great deal happening in the company of late. Essentially, in overview terms, our model is focused on forestry. We do things with wood, basically. Sourcing wood, utilizing wood, and commercializing it in several different ways. In order to do that, we deploy three complementary divisions. There is a certain amount of integration between those divisions, but in essence, they complement each other through the deployment of forestry and wood generally. We've got a team which has a wealth of experience in terms of the logistics and the management and handling of trees and forestry. And we basically have now deployed that team into the commercialization of our new coal switch product, which is a second generation biomass product, renewable energy sourced. We have essentially a defined strategic plan for the next year in order to take all three of those divisions into profit. It's an ambitious aim, but we believe it's achievable. You asked specifically about the coal switch product. That is a product which we're now commercializing following the testing that was done by a highly accredited laboratory at the University of Utah. They're accredited by, amongst others, the Electric Power Research Institute of the United States, which essentially sets the gold standard for products which are to be used in the power generation industry. And the point about the product, the pellet, the thing that differentiates it from anything else on the market at the moment is that it is a drop-in alternative to coal in any coal-fired power generation environment. It can be used as standalone fuel or it can be used with coal. So if a coal-fired power utility wants to achieve a 25% reduction in emissions, they can burn one part of coal switch with three parts coal, and they've achieved that reduction. And burning our product with coal actually increases the efficiency of its consumption. And I suppose the most important thing, there are a number of important things about the product, but probably the most important one from the point of view of UK listeners who will be well familiar with the story of the very significant costs being incurred for retrofitting coal-fired power stations in the north of England. You don't need to do that with our product. It's a drop-in alternative. I mean, it will drop into coal handling and feedstock systems, so you don't have to retrofit your boiler to stop it being damaged through the utilization of biomass.
Excellent. So what is the potential then? Because obviously we've got quite a lot of power that's required across the whole of the UK. And if that was to be a replacement, what's the potential then, therefore, for coal switch technology to be applied everywhere?
You're absolutely right in terms of saying everywhere. I mean, this is a global product, driven by climate change regulations, the implementation of carbon taxes in many different countries around the world, and the environmental credentials of our company, and in particular this product. The market is quite enormous. When I tell you that in recent weeks we've had visit our headquarters for this division, which is located in Salt Lake City in Utah, we've had people from as far afield as Japan, Malaysia, Europe, Canada, and the United States itself visit our R&D facility, and in order to watch the pilot plant in operation. And there is no one that hasn't gone away very, very impressed by the product itself. Our next stage of development really is to get commercial plants established, certainly one, probably two, in North America as soon as we can, in order to prove that there is a scalability of this product and we can actually start turning out rather more than a few tons a week, which is what we do from our pilot plant at the moment.
Okay, so when you say scalability, Brian, how does that actually work in a sense of what units have to be put together to get the scale there?
Okay, yeah, good question. I mean, it's actually very comforting, I suppose, from an investment potential, that our technology is relatively tried and tested. There's no whiz-bang, you know, special physics involved here or chemistry. It's essentially how we use a tried and tested process that is really what's unique about what we do. And that also applies to the components of the plants that we will establish. They're pretty much all off the shelf.
Okay.
We're talking conveyors, stainless steel, boilers. These are fairly routine components. There are one or two bespoke components that have been specially engineered for us. But in essence, it's an off-the-shelf ordering process that's required in order to bolt together the plant and get it operational. We envisage the first one or ones will be in the order of just a few tons an hour, probably around 5 tons an hour.
Okay.
And the beauty of the scalability of the project is that it is entirely modular. So if you have a certain number of reactors to process this product in a 5 ton an hour plant, you will have 8 times that number of reactors and components in a 40 ton an hour plant.
Yeah.
It is, as they say, not rocket science.
Yeah.
So scaling up to significant volumes, which is what we're going to need when we come to negotiate and supply long-term offtake arrangements with major power generators, with utility companies, it's entirely scalable. So we can give them 100 tons an hour. It's simply a matter of deploying more and more of the same component.
Excellent, excellent. So how does ColSwitch fit in with the other AEG divisions? And could you give me a brief overview of the company's additional divisions, please?
Sure. I think it's quite important because they do interact as well as complement each other. Forestry and the Timberlands division is something that has grown out of long-standing contacts between our management team, principally our CEO, with certain of the indigenous tribes of northern Alberta who sit on vast tracts of forestry, hundreds of thousands of hectares. And we're looking for a partner, in essence, to engage and assist with commercializing that. And as an AIM-listed company in London, that's what we do. We're the gatekeeper. We provide access to markets and we provide access to commercial partners to actually roll out that division. We've taken that further in engaging with regional councils, regional government in Eastern Europe, in Ukraine in particular, where we want to bring in modern international forestry and environmental standards to actually make, you know, sure that they have a sustainable forestry management plan in place. Naturally, in everything we do, particularly with the coal substitute product, ColSwitch, it's essential that you can provide sufficient feedstock. It's not just about having 10-year offtake agreements with power utilities. You have to be able to provide the feedstock. And that's where our timberland management division complements that particular product. So we can deploy the resource in order to produce the product. And we do that through, I suppose, the original division, the wood fiber division, which is where we've developed the handling and logistics skills, the processing and chipping of wood, which is part of the process for making ColSwitch. And we currently have that based primarily in Ukraine, where we export to Turkey for MDF manufacturing purposes, hundreds of thousands of tons of chipped wood from essentially redundant or waste wood. It's a huge market. It's growing well. To date, we've only done that with hardwood. We are in the process of installing a softwood line.
Yeah.
That's well in hand. And we expect to be able to supply both softwood chip and hardwood chip in the new year to give us access to an even bigger share of that particular market.
Okay, so essentially you're on the cusp of becoming almost vertically integrated then from top to bottom.
Yes, there is. As I said earlier, there is a degree of integration. It's not smooth, if you like, in terms of vertical integration.
Yeah.
In areas it is. We certainly deploy, and certain skills are transferable between the divisions, and they complement each other.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the safest description, yeah.
Okie dokie. So what can investors look forward to over the coming months, 2017 and into the summer, Brian?
Well, hopefully a great deal. There's an enormous amount happening in the company at the moment. We are looking to begin, hopefully very soon, the commercialization of those forestry assets in Canada. There were certain political issues, shall we say, to be overcome. And we are confident that we'll be able to begin the commercialization of those forestries in 2017. We then want to look to bring on stream further forestry assets to ensure that we have sufficient volume of feedstock in many countries of the world, not just in North America and Eastern Europe, for the deployment of the coal switch product. That, as I say, is fundamentally dependent upon ensuring the sufficient feedstock capacity. And I think really build on the sort of commercial skills that we've developed through the years with our revenue-generating wood fibre business and move into a very exciting phase in terms of commercialising, in particular, that second-generation renewable energy product, which has a global appeal.
Excellent. Brian, I've covered all my questions there. I didn't know if there's anything else you wanted to add with regards to private investors looking at the company and considering them as potential investors.
Watch this space. I suppose that would probably be the best thing to say. We do have a great deal happening. I wish I could tell you more, but unfortunately, you know the rules.
Yes, I do. All right then, Brian Evans, Evans-Jones, CFO of AEG. Thank you ever so much for coming on to this interview with Share Talk, and we look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you. Speak soon, Brian. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.